This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a State of the Union Tuesday. It's coming up about 2 hours from now, and I give you my word, we're going to cover it live here on the Jesse Kelly Show. That's a total lie. The show ends right as soon as the State of the Union begins. I just wanted to keep you hooked here so you keep listening. Now, this hour, we are going to talk about the tariffs. I know the tariffs are on your mind. We'll get to that in a little bit. Get to some emails getting paid off by the mob. We'll get to the hive mind of the communists, all that and so much more. But because I was gone last night, we wanted to do Medal of Honor Tuesday tonight, which we obviously normally do in the start of the second hour every Monday. Remember, you can email the show love, hate, death threats, and Medal of Honor suggestions if you have one you love, or even more importantly, if it's someone you know, friend, family, neighbor, something like that. You can email them into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Do keep in mind, there's a bit of a wait list. They've stacked up on us over some time as the show's gotten more and more popular. But we got this one a while ago. This is from May of last year, actually. And it tells you how far behind we are. Jesse, thank you for your service. My name, I don't want to read his name. Appreciate your show. He said, I'd like to nominate a good friend and World War II Medal of Honor recipient, Colonel James Sweat. He shot down 7 attacking Japanese aircraft flying the F-4 Wildcat, then was shot down himself, trained to fly. All right, so without further ado, I'll give you a little bit more around this. Let's go with James Elm Sweat, United States Marine Corps. And as promised, we add his birthplace now. He was born in Seattle, Washington. So how about that? A Washington boy. Here we go.
Ready, aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For extraordinary heroism and personal valor above and beyond the call of duty as division leader of Marine Fighting Squadron 221 with Marine Aircraft Group 12, 1st Marine Aircraft Wing, in action against enemy Japanese aerial forces in the Solomon Islands area, 7th of April, 1943. In a daring flight to intercept a wave of Japanese planes, 1st Lieutenant Sweat unhesitatingly hurled his 4-plane division into action against a formation of 15 enemy bombers and personally exploded 3 hostile planes in midair with accurate and deadly fire during his dive. Although separated from his division while clearing the heavy concentration of anti-aircraft fire, he boldly attacked 6 enemy bombers, engaged the first 4 in turn, and unaided, shot down all in flames. Exhausting his ammunition as he closed the 5th enemy Japanese bomber, he relentlessly drove his attack against the terrific opposition, which partially disabled his engine, shattered the windscreen, and slashed his face. In spite of this, he brought his battered plane down with skillful precision in the water off Tulagi without further injury. The superb airmanship and tenacious fighting spirit which enabled First Lieutenant Sweat to destroy 7 enemy bombers in a single flight were in keeping with the highest traditions of U.S. Naval service. And you should know, he was saved by somebody in a kayak off of Tulagi. How about that? And I'll move on here because I want to move on to tariffs and other things. But I will just say, you pilots are insane and you fighter pilots are extra insane. The last time I had to go to Dallas, I had to go up there for a political event. At one of their little airfields, they have a flight museum, little flight museum. I think Southwest Airlines sponsors the flight museum of all things. Yeah, actually, I know they do. There's a big Southwest Airline plane attached to it, but it's not just a commercial museum. It's mostly space and fighter aircraft and things like that. And as you can imagine, because I'm 43 going on 83, I stopped into the old flight museum. So I wanted to see everything. And they're so thin, the planes. There's not much to them. You think, or at least I would think, even if you're looking at pictures or even video, I guess in my mind, I always think to myself, they're sturdier than they are. There's nothing to those World War II planes. They're aluminum. You're driving a soda can with an engine on and some machine guns on it. And I remember thinking as I was looking down in it, because you can get basically right on top of them and look down in them, and I remember thinking, you fighter pilots are seriously out of your minds. You're out of your mind. And you may say to yourself, it's worse being in the Marines. No, I disagree. When it comes to combat, these stories like Sweat here, like the Colonel Sweat, these guys did this stuff all the time in World War II, where our guys would be outnumbered and you're not in a tank. You're not in something that can withstand punishment, and you're in the air, and they just charge. They'll be highly outnumbered, and they just floor it and charge. And it always, every time I read a book about it, I think to myself, that's a suicide run. That guy was trying to kill himself. They're made of different stuff, man. And I know a few fighter pilots still. I've known a few in my day, and I know a few still. They are pretty routinely the cockiest people I've ever met in my life. And that may rub some people the wrong way. It doesn't rub me the wrong way because I get it. Because you have to be that way. Yeah, like all that Top Gun stuff, obviously that's a lot of fake stuff. That's not what what actual combat and things like that in fighter airplanes. But the cockiness of it, very real. They're like that. Because you have to be. You have to feel like you are 10 feet tall and bulletproof, like you can fly that plane through the eye of a needle if you have to, like you can take on 35 jets, because anyone else, any sane person or normal person would never do it. And those World War II guys amaze me. Here's a stat for you, because I'm going to move on and talk tariffs and things like that. You know, we were bombing Japan a lot in World War II in the Pacific, all the time, bombing Japan. You know, one of the main reasons we took Iwo Jima, it wasn't just, you know, we say for the airfield, and of course it was for the airfield, but why the airfield? Why was that airfield so important? We wanted that airfield because our planes coming back after they were done being bombed, we were losing so many of them coming back because they would be shot to pieces or something would be breaking on the plane. And it wasn't like Europe, not that Europe was some cakewalk, where you can bail out and parachute into some farmer's field. And look, even if the Nazis took you prisoner, unless you were Chris, you were going to be treated actually fairly well. The Nazis treated our prisoners fairly well. They really did. You bail out over the open ocean, you know what percentage of them we ever found when the bombers had to go down? 25%. You go down in the open water of the Pacific, you're probably gone. You know, you know how many guys? It's a little sad to think about, but it makes you respect them more. Think how many guys, think how many bomber crews or fighter crews, think how many flight crews flew a mission, Japan, so one of the islands, disabled, shot to pieces, set her down in the water, and died. You never heard their story. We know the story of the shipwreck survivors, you know, the Indianapolis. We all know that story. They survived these days, but you know how many didn't? And the reason we don't tell their story is there was no one left alive to tell the tale. They went down in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and the sharks got them. The dehydration got them. Bled to death got them. And they died oftentimes alone in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. What's the most frightened you've ever been in your life? Imagine right now, if you weren't even wounded. Imagine if you were completely healthy. And in fact, what if I told you I would come back to get you in 30 minutes in the middle of the Pacific Ocean? I tell you I will come back to get you in 30 minutes. I throw a life jacket on you. It's midnight. And I drop you in the water and I take off in a boat so you can't see me anymore. And I tell you I'll be back in 30 minutes. How would you feel for that 30 minutes? A little nervous. Heart's starting to pitter-patter a little bit, isn't it? Now imagine putting down your plane. You're from Nebraska. Putting down your plane alone and you know nobody's probably ever coming. You got to respect those guys, man. All right, let's talk about some tariffs. I know you're panicked. If you made the horrific mistake of checking your stock portfolio today, you're probably ready to jump off a bridge. Don't jump. I have some news that may be good. It may be horrible, but we will discuss some tariff stuff in a moment. Now, Justin Trudeau, I should point out, did issue a response, and I'm playing this right now for a reason.
I want to speak first directly to the American people.
You know, testosterone levels are off a cliff. You can hear, look, you can hear it in Western leaders.
I want to speak first directly to the American people.
We've lost 50% of our testosterone in 50 years. We drink estrogen.
We don't want this.
Some people, some of our leaders, they are estrogen.
We want to work with you as a friend and ally.
And that's why I tell you about a male vitality stack from Chalk. So you don't end up sounding like Justin Trudeau. Do you want to make sure that people don't hear you talk and think, wow, that guy's a little light in the loafers? Get a male vitality stack from Chalk in your body. Natural herbal supplements of the highest quality. 20% increase in your testosterone levels in 90 days. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Feel like $1 million. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. It's so good to be back. And I know you're going to find this absolutely stunning, but at one point in time over the weekend, I put my foot in my mouth. I will tell you about that in just a few moments after we're done talking about tariffs. One of my sons, I'm worried that he's becoming just like me, and that's a concern. We'll also discuss that. I will discuss the Pam Bondi, Epstein stuff, and all that. We'll do emails and so much more. Now, let's discuss the bigger story of the day, the tariffs. Now, as we've discussed before, there are free trade people, free market, free trade people, and there are what is known as fair trade people. And I'm going to give you just kind of the objective view of what that looks like. If you are more of a free trade purist type person, you don't believe in putting any penalties on anybody. You believe all trade should kind of just be free, penalty free. You don't concern yourself with fees and tariffs, things like that. And you assume that the chips will fall where they may, right? If somebody's putting too much of a tariff on you, you don't stress about putting one back on them because you assume if they take it too high, the consumer will move somewhere else. It's kind of a real Adam Smith invisible hand of the market way of thinking, meaning the market will work itself out. That's free trade. And then there are fair trade types. If you're trying to use a derogatory term for them, they'd be known as protectionists or things like that. But there are fair trade types. Fair traders generally believe that this whole nonsense about letting them give you penalties and not giving them any back just means you're going to lose jobs. It means American jobs are going to go to places that do slave labor. It means you're allowing other countries to do you wrong. And both sides, if you get with people, will make extremely compelling arguments for their side. Now, traditionally, in recent years, the GOP, the Republican Party, has at least claimed to be free trade. Now, we need to pause for a moment here, because I need to make something very clear. A free trade agreement is not free trade. That's putting something down in writing and coming to an agreement on terms. That's not free trade. That's coming up with essentially what amounts to a contract. That's not free trade. But anyway. So the protectionist fair trader types, those are older Republicans, and that was for a long time, that was the Teddy Roosevelt people. Those types of Republicans ruled the Republican Party for a long time. Moving past them, if you get to the Ronald Reagan types, they would be more free trade people, all right? As I've explained a million times, people like to act like the things Donald Trump believes and the things he wants have never been done before. We've never seen this before. That's ridiculous. Donald Trump is in many, many ways a Teddy Roosevelt Republican. I'm actually amazed at how much like Teddy Roosevelt he is with his belief systems and what he believes. Teddy Roosevelt was a big fair trader. And the fair traders believe, if you're putting a penalty on me, you're going to slap some tariff. You're going to splash some extra tax on the milk I'm sending you. For instance, Canada, milk we send to Canada. Canada slaps a big old fatty on there. Charge us for that. Then fine. I'm going to charge you back. Now, Donald Trump believes in tariffs, period. You charge me, I'll charge you. That's what Donald Trump believes. He has used the threat of tariffs with Mexico and Canada to get things so far. And before we get to us, the American consumer, let's be crystal clear about this. Tariffs are devastating for Canada and Mexico. Every single economist I have talked to, friends of mine, have told me it's a guarantee those countries will go into recession if Trump tariffs them. Trump is giving Canada a recession. He's giving Mexico a recession. Have you ever heard Justin Trudeau, you know, flimsy, flamey Justin Trudeau, have you ever heard him speak as sternly as he did today? I was making fun of him earlier. I'll let him play a little bit.
I want to speak first directly to the American people. We don't want this. We want to work with you as a friend and ally. And we don't want to see you hurt either. But your government has chosen to do this to you. As of this morning, markets are down, and inflation is set to rise dramatically all across your country. Your government has chosen to put American jobs at risk, at the thousands of workplaces that succeed because of materials from Canada or because of consumers in Canada, or both. They've chosen to raise costs for American consumers on everyday essential items like groceries and gas, on major purchases like cars and homes, and everything in between. They've chosen to launch a trade war that will, first and foremost, harm American families.
Okay, then he goes on to say, we're not going to vacation there. We're going to keep booing during the national anthem. I'm not kidding. Yeah, she said that. He goes on to all that other stuff. Canada did what any country would do. I'm not even dogging on him for this. They said, well, we're going to tariff you right back. We'll raise our tariffs. And then this is how trade wars oftentimes go. Trump came out and said, well, I'm going to tariff you right back. I'll tariff you even more than I was going to tariff you. So that's the current status. Before you panic, before you check your 401k, let me talk to you really quickly. Let me first talk to you about Hillsdale College, though. I want to first talk to you about doing things as a family. It can be hard anymore to find things to do as a family now that TV is rancid trash, isn't it? It's hard. You can't sit and watch a football game anymore. without having to cover your kids' eyes and ears with half the commercials. It's awful. Why don't, as a family, why don't you do something fun that everyone enjoys that makes you smarter? I'm talking about Hillsdale College's online courses, and I'm not just talking about families. This is for anybody. Hillsdale is offering more than 40 free online courses. Free courses. You want to learn about C.S. Lewis, the works of C.S. Lewis? The ancient Christian church? Would you like to know more about that? Explore your faith some more? The Civil War stuff? The Roman Republic? At no cost, you can do this. At least go register. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a wonderful Tuesday. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and I will get to those emails eventually. I swear I will. Now, let's finish up this tariff talk here. Trump's a believer in tariffs. He's also a believer in negotiating. Trump slammed the tariffs down today. China, Canada, Mexico. If you made the horrible mistake of checking on your stock portfolio, you are aware of that. Now, what I'm not going to do is sit here and tell you that the tariffs are going to go away and everything's going to be okay stock-wise. I'm not going to tell you that because I don't know. I don't know. I will also tell you this, though. Trump understands you cannot tank the American economy and have the American people still support your presidency. And you're not able to do the things you want to do as president if the American people hate your freaking guts for doing it. He is still negotiating. His Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, came out later on today when everyone else was in panic, when you were watching your stock portfolio go up in flames. He went to the news and said, hey, he's working it out.
He's going to come out today angry that Americans are still being killed. Now, both the Mexicans and the Canadians were on the phone with me all day today trying to show that they'll do better. And the president's listening because, you know, he's very, very fair and very reasonable. So I think he's going to work something out with them. It's not going to be a pause, none of that pause stuff. But I think he's going to figure out, you do more and I'll meet you in the middle some way. And we're going to probably be announcing that tomorrow. So somewhere in the middle will likely be the outcome. The president moving with the Canadians and Mexicans, but not all the way.
Just to clarify,
Okay. That hopefully is music to your ears. What he wants is a better trade deal. Canada slaps tariffs on our stuff. Mexico slaps tariffs on our stuff. You can call it NAFTA. You can call it a free trade agreement all you want. But it's hardly that when you're slapping tariffs on our stuff. What Trump said is, you do it, we'll do it. If they come to an agreement, that probably will mean they're not eliminating their tariffs. They're in the very least lowering their tariffs. I believe that is the intention. Now, if it's not the intention, we may be in for some really rocky economic times. We might. Trade wars are brutal things. And Trump does believe in tariffs. He may not allow them to do enough to take them off. And what he's banking on, it's things like this from the Daily Wire. Honda yanks production of one of its top cars from Mexico after tariffs. They decided, hey, we're not doing this in Mexico anymore. We're going to go do it in Indiana instead. That's what that is. So the thinking is, yes, we tariff you. Yes, prices go up. American people get mad, but they only get mad for a while as American jobs, better, higher paying American jobs, come back home. The American people, yes, some things cost more, but the jobs market is so great. Plus, Trump is deregulating things. Plus, he's trying for a tax cut. He's trying to balance out the tariff pain with making the economy better. Now, how is all this going to turn out? I don't know. I lie about being an oracle. I'll be honest. I'm lying with you about that. I have no idea. Will this work out tomorrow? Maybe tomorrow morning. Maybe by the time we get on the air tomorrow night, maybe it's already worked out. No more tariffs. Everything's worked out. Justin Trudeau's like, I changed my mind. He runs right up to the microphone. We're good. That dirty communist in charge of Mexico. She runs up to the mic and says, and then we're good and everything's good. I don't know. Or maybe this goes on and we are going to suffer for sure. For sure. For some time. How long? I don't know. I don't know where we're going to go from here, but that's the setup, and that's where we are. Now, before I get to some emails, I have to tell you where I put my foot in my mouth. Now, I actually had a twofold purpose in Ohio. The reason I went to Ohio was for the funeral, but also while I was there, my mother-in-law had her 70th birthday. And we were back there anyway. We wanted to bless her for her 70th birthday. And Ob decided that she was going to take the family. We were all going to go, you know, in-laws, everybody. We were going to go to get professional pictures taken. You know how women love professional pictures. I don't know if you ever experienced this as a kid, but you could hardly walk into Sears around Christmas time without your mom making you wait in line for the professional pictures. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Chris, did you people do that? Or was it too much money? Oh, you did it too? What, Chris? I was asking. Anyway, look, even Chris did it. But professional pictures. Women love this crap. So, Ob has two sisters. They're awesome, I should note. And they're lovely. That's going to come into play here in a moment. They're lovely. Okay, I just want to clarify. She has two sisters who are lovely. All right. So, in order to get these professional pictures taken in a pleasant environment, the weather was brutal cold in Ohio over the weekend. Ob decides we're going to go to this, what they call it, a conservatory is what they called it, a garden, a big botanical garden, a big inside thing, and I know you're going to be shocked, but I've never been in one of these before. That was just not something the Kellys really did. It's certainly nothing I would seek out. And I didn't really understand the concept at first. We walked in, and you have to pay to get in there, which, again, I was a little weirded out, but it seemed like it might be nice. And as we're walking through, everything is just plants. Like, it's trees and flowers and things. And it was actually really funny. At one point, I'm still asking, we paid to get in here and there's only plants? There aren't any animals or anything? There's no nothing else? People pay to come look at plants? And that's when my youngest dropped this little gem on me. He murders me. He's so much like me, it frightens me. He goes, Dad, yes, he was trying to explain it. He said, it's like a zoo for lesbians. Anyway. The photographer, they've got this photographer in there, and he's, hey, you stand here, you stand there, and he's getting everybody lined up. And everyone was there, me and Ob and her sisters and their husbands and my in-laws and the boys and everyone else. And he looks at me, and he says, hey, because he's trying to get the couples lined up. Hey, tall guy, what's your name? Jesse. Oh, good. Which one is your wife? Don't put your head in your hands, Chris. And I responded, the hot one. And I didn't mean anything by it. It was in no way disparaging to anybody else. What, Chris? I know she should take it as a compliment. She was mortified. And she just looked dynamite because she was all dolled up for pictures. And she's so hot anyway. She's a total dime. And then she was dimed out for the pictures. And so I looked at her and I just wasn't. Have you ever had these moments where your brain and your tongue, like they don't coordinate properly? I looked and she was wearing this smoking hot green dress and I wasn't looking at anyone else and I wasn't trying to insult anyone else. I looked and my brain immediately thought, wow, she's hot. And I thought if I could describe her in that way that he would understand who I was talking about. And so in front of everybody, and my voice tends to carry pretty loudly. I mean, look, everyone heard clear as day. I said the hot one. And I apologize to anybody who was offended at the time. I did not mean anything by it. And I don't know why Ob thinks it was so rude, but I was trying to be nice. And so, whatever. But anyway, that was that. You know, we have an old family picture that we got in Sears. It's one of the funniest things ever because my mom has it's pretty much an afro is what she has at the time. It's all blown out afro. And my old man, he's sitting there next to his. He had this old muzzle loader that he had. This muzzle loader he loved. He'd deer hunt with it back in Ohio. And he's sitting there, and he's a monster. My dad was so huge; he was like 6'5". He's just a big dude, and he's got this mustache on. And we have a hard copy of that at the house. You know, I have that picture now on my phone because of Legacy Box. That's what Legacy Box has done for me. And I really want you to consider doing this for your family. Not just because Legacy Box, they're a family company. When I sit down, when I have dinner with them, they're talking about family. Not just because they're American jobs. You know where they do this with your pictures, with your VHS tapes, with those home movies? They do it in Tennessee. That's where they do it. American jobs, American workers. They've helped so many people out. But what they do is you send them, they'll send you a box, and you send them your pictures. You send them your VHS tapes, your camcorder tapes. And they digitize it for you. So you have it on your computer, on your phone. And more importantly, it never fades, man. Those wonderful tapes, that wedding album, a baby album, it's fading away. Because time does that. Humidity and heat and whatever. Let Legacy Box make sure it stays there forever for you. And right now, take advantage. Limited time, it's half off. You get the box and fill it up whenever, but take advantage when it's half off. LegacyBox.com/Jesse gets you half off. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. A little bit more than an hour from the start of the State of the Union. That's going to be a grand old time. I cannot wait. I'll be watching. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow to talk about that. And remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's do some emails before we get to the talking points, the system, the hive mind, if you will. And then we'll talk about the BlackRock stuff. Anyway, let's do some emails. Sombrero Jesse, I love the job Pete Hegseth is doing right now, but there is one thing that irks me. He is renaming bases back to their original name, but honoring a different person with that name. Why can't they give it to the original name, honoring the original person? It's not the win they act like. It's a passive-aggressive win. Well, I agree, actually. I agree completely. I'm sure you saw they changed the name of Fort Bragg back to Fort Bragg, but they didn't name it after the Confederate general. They found some other guy named Bragg and named it after him. They just did the same thing. I think it's with Benning. There was Benning. I was right. With Benning, they didn't name it after the Confederate guy. They named it to the other guy. And the problem is this, really. People on the right, they still, and I know you probably don't do this as much anymore because we've talked about it for so long, they still allow the communists to use their values against them.
and they don't truly, truly understand why the communist does the things he does. Like why, for instance, why does the communist rename military bases? Why does he tear down statues? And it's not just Robert E. Lee, who was a great man, by the way, Thomas Jefferson, Christopher Columbus, a Teddy Roosevelt statue got removed in New York City. Teddy Roosevelt was Mr. New York City. They removed a Teddy Roosevelt statue. The right still cannot properly articulate why the communists do these things. And so when they try to defend it, they end up not going far enough. So let's just do this again very briefly because I want to get to other emails. The communist doesn't remove Christopher Columbus statues because they're stressed about the discovery of America or the enslavement of the Indians. That's not why they do it. They don't remove statues of Robert E. Lee or even Nathan Bedford Forrest or anyone else because they're upset about the Civil War and the plight of the slaves. They don't care about any of these things at all. They don't remove Teddy Roosevelt for whatever, Thomas Jefferson because he owns slaves. That is not why at all. What they're saying when they do that is they know you will be too intimidated by the reason they give you to stop them. That's why they're giving you that reason. Oh, yeah, you don't want me to tear down Robert E. Lee? What are you, pro-slavery? And they know that that's immediately will get most people on the right. Well, I mean, not really. I mean, slavery's wrong. It'll get you navel-gazing so you won't stop them from doing what they're actually doing. And what they're actually doing, the reason they moved right from Robert E. Lee to Thomas Jefferson, right from him to Teddy Roosevelt, what they're actually doing is destroying the history of the country in the same way communists always have. And if you read the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available now in paperback at jessekellybook.com, what, Chris? But if you read the Anti-Communist Manifesto, you would understand the Soviets did the exact same thing. That's why it used to be, whatever, a Vodka Boulevard, and now it's Stalin Boulevard. You know that Mao did the exact same thing. They bragged about burning the history books, tearing apart the graves. They did the same thing when they had their communist revolution in Spain. The communists do this in every single country they take over. There's a reason Pol Pot declared. What year? What year did Pol Pot declare it was when he took over? What year, anybody? Zero. Pol Pot famously said this is year zero. There is nothing that came before this. Why? Because if I can unchain you, unmoor you from your past, then I can write your future. You see, the reason you won't let me burn down your home isn't just the monetary value. If I paid you for your home, you still wouldn't let me burn it down. The reason you won't let me do that is the memories in your home, the history there. Hey, that's where Grandpa, he's gone now, but that's where Grandpa taught me how to sharpen a knife. Hey, that's where we used to keep our Christmas tree every Christmas. But if I can destroy those memories for you, then what is your home? It's nothing but brick and mortar. It means nothing to you at all. And then I can make it whatever I want to make it. Your history chains you to your, not chains, that's the wrong way to use it, ties you to your country, binds you in a good way to your country. Even the bad history stuff, even slavery, even that's part of your country's history, an ugly part, but it's part of it. If you allow the communists to destroy it all, well, then they're going to remake your future. And that's why they do it. I promise you, cross my heart and hope to die, strike me down right now if I'm wrong. There's not a single communist tearing down Robert E. Lee statues who's ever shed a single tear about the Civil War. I'm sorry, they don't. They don't care about it. They don't care about Teddy Roosevelt. What they do care about is tearing down any connection you have to your country. Because if they can do that, then they can remake your future. They can repaint your future in whatever shade they desire. But that little 5-minute talk we just had, for some reason, the right, they can't do it. They cannot do it. They still either don't get it, they don't understand why the communist does what he does, Or even worse, they do get it, but they lack the guts to stand up and actually say something about it. And so we stand by and let them tear it down, and then we put it back. We put it back halfway, and now, oh, yeah, you can't go see Robert E. Lee, but you can walk into New York City and look at a George Floyd statue. That's how it is. They try to remake your future. All right, let's discuss the hive mind, BlackRock, some more emails. Let's also discuss Perfect Meat. It makes my mouth water thinking about the brisket I'm going to make this weekend. I actually talked to my boy Luke about it, and he said, "Dad, will you make another brisket? Will you smoke a brisket this weekend? Why would anybody request my brisket? You know how many briskets I've made in my life, in my entire life? 5. It's so good, neighbors request it. You know why? Because of IQ Sense. It's a meat thermometer, but not like one you've ever seen before. It's from Chefman. It's a wireless cooking thermometer. You stick it in there, chicken, meat, in your oven, your grill, whatever. You leave it in there. You keep it closed, because if you're looking, you're not cooking. And it simply connects to an app on your phone. You can check the temperature every second if you'd like, right there on your phone. Or you can do what I do. I put in a desired temperature setting. Hey, I want this to be 120, whatever, 200, whatever. And your phone will just let you know when it's done. It's the most miraculous thing, because you always cook to temperature. Anybody will tell you that. You want perfect meat every time, perfect chicken, perfect beef, perfect whatever. ChefIQ.com and code Jesse saves you 15% at checkout. I nerd out on these things. Go get an IQ Sense. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. 1 hour left. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.